Thank you, sir. Sir, it's estimated that one in five women between the ages of 16 and 59 will be the victim of a sexual offence. And almost one in three girls have experienced unwanted sexual touching at school. Sexual harassment is reported as being routine in young people's lives. These statistics are truly horrifying, and as the father of three girls, frankly, terrifying too. And of course, the vast majority of these offences go unreported. And the fact that 59 million people last week felt comfortable with an explanation that bragging about sexual assault was merely locker room talk is, I would suggest, very unlikely to change any of these statistics in a positive direction or encourage an increase in the reporting of sexual offences. Now, this really is a topic for another day, albeit that it is a topic that deserves much greater public debate. However, it is relevant to this debate for a number of reasons. Firstly, as we aspire to be among the happiest and healthiest places in the world, remaining a safe and secure place to live, it is exactly the sort of problem that we will need to think seriously about. And secondly, as Deputy Latoc said last week, 2016 has given us much to think about for 2017. Many things that many people assumed would never happen have happened. Brexit, President-elect Trump, the British Bake Off leaving the BBC. 2016 has given us food for thought. The current geopolitical zeitgeist, with its apparent acceptability of nationalism, jingoism, racism, protectionism, and sexism, has not, I suspect, yet reached its zenith. If we choose to ignore it, we do so at our peril. That does not, of course, mean that we need to embrace these forces in our local community, although there will be some who wish that we did, or shed the values that we hold dear, such as tolerance, respect, dignity, and equality. But we do need to develop a strategy that enables us to respond effectively. And by chance of timing, the first phase of the Policy and Resource Plan, Future Guernsey, is in fact the start of such a strategy. Why? Because at the close of this debate, our community will have a vision, a destination for the next 20 years. We will be looking to create a place which values and preserves our safety and security, which is fair and inclusive, healthy, successful and innovative. In what appears to be an increasingly unstable and intolerant world, these messages and those qualities are ones which will make us hugely attractive. This is a time of great uncertainty globally, but great opportunity locally. So the principal committees, as well as the Policy and Resources Committee, will come back next June with plans which set out how we will work together towards that shared vision, that destination, over the first part of that journey up to 2021. The vision is deliberately long-term and intentionally aspirational. It is unashamedly ambitious. We are asking the states to agree to 8 overall outcomes and to set a direction of travel so that we get there. A safe and secure place to live, a healthy community, a fair and inclusive community, lifelong learning across the community, making Guernsey a centre of excellence and innovation, building a mature international identity, sustainable public finances, and all underpinned by a strong and growing economy. Why are we doing this? Well, first of all, the process was set out by the States Review Committee during the last term and was approved by this Assembly. So to be clear, this is the States Assembly's process, not the Policy and Resource Committee's. It is your process, our collective process. Second, the 8 outcomes were distilled from 2 workshops attended by the vast majority of States members in June and July. You will recall that there was no desire for a third workshop, but from the follow-up meetings and conversations with many of you who wanted to input further, your priorities and aspirations for our community were clearly expressed and are, I believe, clearly articulated in the plan. So these 8 outcomes are effectively your outcomes, our collective outcomes. This is not the Policy and Resource Committee's plan. This is the State's Assembly's Policy and Resource Plan. A plan which will enable us to develop a rigorous discipline and process to identify our clear priorities for policy, supported by the appropriate allocation of resources to ensure delivery. Last term, Deputy Trott said that the Disability and Inclusion Strategy would not be delivered in any tangible way because the policy and strategy had been agreed by the States Assembly without the resources to implement it. Deputy Lester Carapel has made similar points on several occasions in relation to other plans and strategies. They were right. And there are other more recent examples too, such as the Supported Living and Ageing Well Strategy and the Social Welfare Benefit Investigation Committee's work. The Policy and Resource Plan is the opportunity for the states to ensure it puts in place policy that has the resource to deliver it. It is the opportunity for us to provide a clear framework on what is our priority and what is not. Many have said that it will enable us to make difficult decisions, to not take forward a policy or strategy because it does not support our objectives, or to cease to provide services. That is true. But it will also enable us to make easy decisions. Some policies and strategies will be no-brainers because they are clearly supportive of our vision and objectives, and we can allocate the resources to them that will ensure they are delivered. So I want to make something very clear. This is not about setting a 20-year vision and then asking our community to wait 20 years in order to feel the benefit. This is about agreeing what we will prioritise next year and the year after that and the year after that in order to meet our long-term objectives. So for those who have criticised Future Guernsey as being too thin on detail or too high level, they are, of course, right. It is. And it was always intended to be, because the role of each principal committee and the Policy and Resource Committee after today will be to put the flesh on the bone, to hang clothes on the hangers in order to develop a plan of action for the next 4 years. In June, the States Assembly will consider that consolidated plan, phase two, and agree the final version. If we've all done our jobs properly, phase two should fill out the detail of exactly how we intend to deliver the high-level policy objectives we agree this week. For example, keeping Guernsey a safe, secure and attractive place to live might mean making changes to policing, to criminal justice policy, to our social housing, and making supported accommodation more affordable. Picking the example I started with, it might also mean changes in education. It might mean creating more accessible public spaces, a revitalised harbour, protecting our natural environment, and the more attractive built environment. All tangible changes that our community will benefit from. Making Guernsey a healthier community might mean making health and social care services more accessible in the community, implementing the mental health and wellbeing strategy and supporting carers. It might mean supporting more active lifestyles through sport and through more active transport. An inclusive and equal community has to mean the effective implementation of the Disability and Inclusion Strategy, of the Children and Young People's Plan, of the Supported Living and Ageing Well Strategy. It means understanding and challenging the causes of poverty. It means family-friendly employment policies. It means better access to arts and community schemes. Lifelong learning across our community means ensuring we have a first-class education for all of our children. It also means ensuring that education does not stop there, that adults have the opportunity to continue to learn, to meet the challenges of the digital age, to learn new skills for their work or for their family life, or to learn for the joy of learning. Making Guernsey a centre of excellence and innovation means helping business to succeed. That will create good jobs and shared wealth, but it will require that our air and sea links are resilient and affordable, and it will mean we need to invest in our digital connectivity. Building a mature international identity means signing up to international standards. Behaving in line with social, environmental, economic and regulatory standards means that we will be better understood. And when we're better understood, we will have greater freedom to run our own affairs. Sustainable public finances is not about spending less. It is about spending the same but in a smarter way, in line with our priorities. Having a clear plan means that if we want to spend £3 million a year on Swibbick, we can reallocate that from places where we are currently spending money on things that we agree between us are less of a priority. And if government controls its spending, it does not need to raise taxes. That means that hard-working families keep as much money in their pockets as possible, that businesses have more to invest back into their businesses, that the government has more to invest in infrastructure. That is why we need a strong and clear fiscal framework within which to work. Focusing on a strong and growing economy underpins all our objectives. It means good jobs, safe jobs, long-term jobs. It means the kind of jobs that our children will want to stay in Guernsey to do or to return to do, and which will help them to get on the housing ladder. When, in May, we publish the final plan, we could be, among other things, asking the States Assembly to prioritise providing respite for carers, ending fuel poverty, ensuring same-sex couples have the same rights as every other couple, protecting our environment, heritage and language, revitalising our air and sea links, ensuring government is small and that our digital economy grows. How we reach the objectives set out in Future Guernsey today is now up to each and every one of us in this Assembly. So while these eight outcomes are aspirational, if we set out detailed, effective plans in response to them, then we can make a positive change for the community we serve, not in 20 years' time, but in each of the next 20 years. Some members, such as Deputy Lester Kirriepell, have said we don't need a plan at all, and we should just get on with delivering our mandates. Some, such as Deputies De Lisle, Graham and Fairbrush, are at best, and I hope they feel that this is a fair reflection of their views, lukewarm, feeling that we should be concentrating on today's problems with practical and pragmatic solutions that our electorate want. To each of them, and to others who feel similarly, I say this. You are absolutely correct. And in fact, I have even more sympathy for this line of argument this week than last week. Post-Brexit, post the US election, and before further political change in Europe, it would seem to me that those in our community, as in other communities, who are disengaged, disaffected, and disenchanted, we do need to deliver pragmatic solutions against our mandates. But of course, the way that we will most effectively do so is if we have a detailed plan against which we deliver and against which they can hold us to account. At the start of the process of coordinating the policy and resource plan, I said that it was essential that our plan was one for the whole community, including business, and one that everyone could sign up to, that we could all work in partnership to deliver. We are debating today only the first part of it, but it is a plan and process that many in our community do support. The Youth Forum, a voice for the young that of course sits at the heart of the Children and Young People's Plan, a voice of the future, have said, and I quote, "Planning for the future is essential in order to achieve a happy and healthy island. We therefore support the idea of a policy and resource plan which provides a 20-year vision for our island's future. We welcome further discussion about how the states will measure success of these targets and how they plan to achieve the stated aims." The Guernsey Community Foundation said, and I quote again, that it welcomes the ambitious aim to identify a vision for the future of Guernsey that focuses on the outcomes that the states of Guernsey would like to achieve over the next 20 years. The Foundation have also said that it welcomed the recognition that the plan cannot be delivered by the states of Guernsey alone, and that the states will need to work in partnership with business and community groups to achieve the objectives of the plan. We have been encouraged by many of their actions to date in this regard. The Guernsey Disability Alliance said, "We very much welcome the publication of the first stage of Guernsey's policy and resource plan. The plan makes clear that Guernsey should be a place where no one gets left behind and everyone has equal opportunity to achieve their potential, including disabled islanders and carers. GDA members have direct and painful experience of exactly what happens when Guernsey doesn't have a plan. It means vital initiatives like the Disability and Inclusion Strategy are agreed unanimously by the states, but then don't actually happen, even though an initial budget has been agreed. We hope that all the deputies who met GDA members at our speed hustings and heard the many personal stories of battling the system in Guernsey will give the plan their full support when it is debated in November. All of this talks about Guernsey, but of course it will have an impact on Alderney as well. As we improve and strengthen services in Guernsey, it will likewise improve and strengthen the transferred services that we provide to Alderney, creating good jobs, keeping taxes low, improving air and sea links, providing excellent education and health and social care. All of this is as important to Alderney as it is to Guernsey. So, in summary, what is before the Assembly today? It is the first phase of your plan and of our community's plan. It is the framework in which we can prioritise policy and resources, which means that we can focus on delivery, not in 20 years' time, but from next year. It will provide a clear plan for government, and it will make us all more accountable if we do not meet its objectives. And rather than create a gulf between government and community, as we've seen in many other jurisdictions, it will help to close that gap. It will make sure we deliver to our community. It will make sure there are actions and change to go with our words. The Policy and Resources Committee is pleased, it's delighted, in fact, that there are a large number of amendments. Not something, sir, that you will hear me say very often in this Assembly. Mm-hmm. A good number of these, we believe, will further strengthen phase one of the plan. The number of amendments demonstrates the political engagement there has been. And I'd like to thank all those who have submitted amendments for their ready dialogue with the Policy and Resources Committee on the detailed drafting. And this has been greatly appreciated by me and my colleagues. But let's not kid ourselves. It's not just about political engagement. Just as communities in the UK, Europe and the US have grown tired with people that they perceive to be out of touch with government, so too have some people in Guernsey. So today is the opportunity to really set in motion the system of government that the states agreed last term. A government that has a plan, that prioritises, that allocates its money, its people and its resources in line with those priorities, that focuses on delivery and that wants to connect its objectives with those of the community, making it more accountable. This is our opportunity to show that a committee-based consensus government can meet the needs of our community and that our government can be even greater than the sum of its parts. Guernsey is a great place in so many ways for most people, but we can make it even better for all. And I hope that you all agree that that is a challenge that we must meet. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Sir. Members, following a request I've received, those who wish to may remove their jackets. Just in relation to the amendments that Deputy St-Pierre just referred to,